Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Curwood. When negotiators gather in Copenhagen in December to consider a new global climate treaty, one major new element is what's called RED, reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation. The idea is to set a value on tropical forests so they're worth more left standing and capturing carbon than cut down.
In the coming months, Living on Earth will present a special series about RED and the world's tropical forests. Today, Living on Earth's senior correspondent Bruce Gellerman has our first report from the heart of the Amazon as the river flows past Manaus, Brazil.
The breeze feels great as the motorboat cuts across the Amazon. Even during Brazil's dry winter season, the air is hot and humid.
Bacana, cara. Bacana demais.
Marco Lima, a fish biologist, joined our team as interpreter, driver, and naturalist as we set out on a month-long journey to explore the Amazon. Today, it's a short boat ride to see a unique Amazon phenomenon, the meeting of the waters.
If you look over here, we can see a battle of two waters, okay? Or the Amazon River trying to invade the Rio Negro and the Rio Negro backing off the Amazon waters.
It's a battle of different densities and water temperatures that's fought out for miles. The black, acidic Rio Negro is warmer than the cool, tan Amazon. The waters eventually merge into the mightiest of rivers. For more than 4,000 miles from the melting glaciers of the Peruvian Andes, the Amazon meanders wide and deep. Vegetation flourishes in the intense tropical sun, making the river basin the richest ecosystem on the planet.
Species, they simply could survive here because of, number one, the incredible variety of plants. Very few people know that most of our fish in the Amazon, they are fruit eaters. I'm talking about even piranhas.
There are sharks and pink dolphins, stingrays and electric eels, giant pararacu and tiny but deadly toothpick fish. 3,000 species of fish swim in the Amazon, twice as many as in the Atlantic Ocean. One-third of the world's species of plants and animals live in the river basin, wildlife found no place else on Earth. Here, one bush might contain more species of ants than the entire British Isles.
To understand the biological diversity of the Amazon is extremely easy. Between the big tributaries of the Amazon, there's completely isolations. Most of our rivers, they have at least 5 miles wide. And a river with 5 miles wide is an enormous river. Birds like toucans, for example, they're not allowed to cross because they will fall in the, even before they get to the middle of the river. And then they say, Marco, they can swim. And I tell you, no, because predators, they're right there, you know, ready to eat whatever tries to cross the river. I mean, so many reasons why these areas get naturally isolated.
Even from the air, it's hard to grasp the vastness of the Amazon. The river basin stretches across 9 South American countries. It spans an area the size of the continental United States. As the river flows east, 1,100 tributaries like veins feed into the Amazon artery, crisscrossing the landscape. In a single minute, the Amazon empties enough fresh water into the Atlantic to supply New York City for 60 years. The flow is 4 times that of the Congo River, 10 times that of the Mississippi, and 60 times as much as the Nile. There are few paved roads. Rutted, red dirt tracks connect small towns and villages. Isolated indigenous tribes live deep in the forest. Here, you're on your own.
So you're very remote, and it's not Kansas. I mean, you're not Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. It's a very rough region.
John Carter pilots his 4-seater Cessna Skywagon to his ranch in the Brazilian state of Mato Grosso. It means dense wood in Portuguese. 15 years ago, when Carter settled here from Texas, that was still an accurate description. But now, this is cattle and soy country.
No, when we first moved here, when to the west was all forest, we'd sit here in the evenings, my wife and I, and there'd be waves and waves of parrots and macaws flying over. Today's maybe 5, 10. Yeah, there's no more forest left. It tore it all down.
Illegal loggers came first, cutting the forest for their valuable hardwoods. Ranchers then torched the remaining trees and brush, converting the land into pasture for cattle. Then farmers came and planted more profitable soybeans. As he surveys his land, John Carter says the destruction of the forest in this part of the Amazon basin has had a devastating effect on the weather and rainfall.
It really is not normal. There used to be rains in like in July and August that would cause the trees to flower. It don't happen anymore. When I moved here, they'd say, it's going to rain next week, you can't fly. I say, hey, how do you know it's going to rain? I say, well, it's the shoe of the sun's wrong. Well, how in the hell do you know that? And sure enough, boom, 3 days straight, downpour. Now it's completely screwed up. Yeah, deforestation. Now that it's proven that half your precip comes from transpiration here.
Transpiration. Trees suck up water through their roots and release it through their leaves as water vapor. It rises and forms clouds that hover above the forest. When trees are cut down, there's less transpiration, fewer clouds, and less rain. It's a cycle of destruction that feeds upon itself. Climate scientists call it dieback. Deforestation leads to drought, creating the conditions for vast wildfires, destroying the lungs of the planet. The Amazon basin, home to so much biological diversity, is drying and dying. And we really don't know what's being lost because the Amazon River basin is not one but many ecosystems, and only a small fraction of what's living here has been identified. Biologist Marco Lima.
Well, these places are amazing. Why not say that the transition forests are the big Pandora box of the Amazon?
And opening Brazil's Amazon to development and agriculture in the 1960s led to unexpected consequences. Today, 75% of Brazil's carbon dioxide emissions come from deforestation. Here along a dusty road near the town of Santo Antonio, the dense virgin forest to the north gives way to savanna. It's a flat landscape with short trees, scrub brush, and shallow ponds. This is the biologically richest savanna on Earth. You'll find parrots, storks, eagles and vultures, jaguar, giant sloths, anteaters, and snakes. Careful where you step, warns Marco. There are lots of snakes in this area, including the feared green anaconda.
In the Cerrado, or in the savannic environments like this, we have a higher population of anacondas, even more than in the forest. One thing is true for reptiles like anacondas, if they see you first, okay, they'll normally hide very well, unless you're really an interesting dish for them.
How big can the anaconda get here?
Well, 20 to 30 feet long. That's easy to be seen.
Are they deadly?
An anaconda with 20 feet can kill a man like us. Easy. Control, individually break every single bone we have, and swallow us.
But more often, we swallow them. Anacondas, fat and lazy, rarely attack people, but the snake is a popular ingredient in traditional folk medicines.
This is the fat from the water snake anaconda.
At an open-air market in the city of Itaituba on the Trabajos River, a vendor sells a variety of potions made from Amazon products, including one with sucuri, anaconda fat. He says it works wonders for coughs and wounds.
It's a great healer, like after you have some deep cuts.
Anaconda fat from, you mean from
gordura,
the steak?
Gordura da banha da sucuri. Banha da sucuri. Yeah, anaconda fat.
And how much do I take? What's the dose?
Como é que ele toca? Ele toma.
Uma colher de sopa duas vezes ao dia.
One teaspoon, two times a day.
I'll take it.
Vou tomar.
Pode. It's good. Take it. It's good.
What do you got for male pattern baldness?
Pra cara aqui, você quer que você tem?
Aqui não tem nada pra isso.
Don't laugh. It's estimated that a quarter of Western prescription drugs are derived from ingredients found in tropical forests. But only a small fraction of tropical plants and animals have ever been tested for medicinal purposes. The biologically rich Amazon could be worth tens of billions of dollars to drug companies looking for compounds like anaconda fat. But what's anaconda fat worth? According to Amazon forest scientist Nero Higuchi, it's difficult to say and expensive to figure out.
I have made some estimation to transform this anaconda fat in some a product, a drug, you need at least almost $100 million in data collection.
$100 million to study anaconda fat?
Yes, to transform this fat in drug. So this is something serious, no? This kind of study demands high technology, well-trained people, and a lot of money.
A decade ago, Novartis, the giant Swiss pharmaceutical company, offered Brazil $4 million plus 1% of revenue for 10 years for the right to collect, export, and study 30,000 samples from the Amazon forest. The agreement fell through at the last minute. Critics charged the company was trying to rob the nation of its biological wealth. Suspicion of biopiracy runs deep in Brazil, as deep as the Amazon forest itself. The Amazon economy was once based upon the rubber tree. Brazil provided the world's supply of natural latex, but rubber tree seeds were stolen, exported, and Brazil's market monopoly was lost. Today, it imports rubber.
My dream was to come to the Amazon, to study the Amazonian forest, you know.
For the past 30 years, Nero Higuchi has been conducting field experiments in this patch of the dense forest north of Manaus. Higuchi's goal? To learn how to save and sustainably develop the Amazon. Higuchi is a forest management scientist with INPA, the National Institute of Amazonian Research. He says some of the trees here are 1,000 years old.
Ooh. Ooh, now we're getting into the jungle.
Yeah, through the jungle.
What is that sound?
It's a bird. A common name is Jungle Captain.
Jungle Captain?
Yeah. He's the captain. He's announced that we're here.
98% of this forest in Amazonas, the largest Brazilian state, is still standing. So far, illegal loggers, cattle ranchers, and soy farmers have stayed out. But Higuchi is worried. That's because for all its potential biological value, right now a piece of this Amazon forest with trees standing on it has virtually no commercial value.
In the Manaus area, you can buy 1 hectare of virgin forest by less than $50.
$50?
Yes.
It's a bargain.
A bargain.
That comes to only about $20 an acre for lush standing tropical forest. At that price, the forest is valuable only if it's cleared and used for agriculture.
That's the big problem. We need to find a way to put value on a standing forest.
Paulo Mancino is the director of the climate change program at EPOM, the Amazon Institute for Environmental Research.
The deforestation rate in the Amazon is so big now because you cannot find alternative to use the forest in a sustainable way that have a competition enough to face other types of land use, like pasture, like soybeans, like other land use. So the people there is not seeing that's possible. You have a good life, make money, keeping the standing forest.
After 3 decades of studying the forest, scientist Nero Higuchi believes he has a solution.
I believe that from the short-term run, if we combine forest management, wood product, and carbon business, we can keep this forest standing.
To be sustainably developed, forests must be carefully managed. Higuchi calculates a ton of hardwood per acre can be harvested each year. This would provide income for commercial loggers, increase the forest's ability to capture and store more carbon, in turn making it more valuable in a potential carbon market. But protecting the forest's biological diversity, that's a different matter.
If we remove this forest, we kill this biodiversity soil. And we don't know for what's the use of this diversity in the soil.
Higuchi's experiments demonstrate that even largely deforested plots of Amazon will grow back in 30 or 40 years. It may look green and lush, but for 1,000 years, it won't be the same forest. That's because when trees are cut down, the thin, nutrient-poor Amazon soil loses its ability to sustain biological diversity. Paulo Mancino of EPOM says no one is going to pay to protect soil. What's needed is an economic incentive beyond biological diversity to save the standing forest.
Usually you are using a culture argument that's very important, a diversity, a biodiversity argument to save forests. But I think that all these arguments are so important, but not important enough to save this large area. We are talking about the area equivalent of all Europe.
Mancino says the only way to raise enough money to save tropical forest is RED, the proposed UN mechanism designed to reduce emissions from deforestation and degradation. One-fifth of our annual worldwide emissions of climate-changing CO2 is released when tropical forests are destroyed. Under the RED mechanism, developing countries with tropical forests would receive payments to keep their trees standing. Industrial nations would foot the bill, paying for their past and future carbon emissions. Forest scientist Niro Higuchi says RED can work. It has to.
This is our chance to do that, to protect the Amazonian forest.
In the dense Amazon forest north of Manaus, researchers have built a 150-foot-tall metal observatory. Producer Bobby Bascom, biologist Marco Lima, and I huff and puff our way to the top, rewarded with a view of the forest canopy that seems to go on forever, and a surprise.
Oh, my God, look at that. Wow.
Oh, my God.
A rainbow over the rainforest.
180 degrees rainbow. Amazing.
Climate negotiators in Copenhagen will need a rainbow like this, one with pots of gold at both ends. Guesstimates of the price tag for RED range from $10 to $50 billion a year. No one knows really how much or how RED will actually work, but time is short and the stakes are high.
This is the first time I've ever seen both sides of a rainbow.
A rainbow is both a biblical symbol of optimism and a divine promise that life on Earth will never be destroyed.
This is the Amazon. The Amazon has been giving us a fantastic present every day. Amazing godly gifts every day, like this in here.
But now a man-made disaster threatens the planet, and it is we who must find the will and act. And as the world considers what to do, the Amazon continues to flow relentlessly to the sea. For Living on Earth in the Amazon Forest, I'm Bruce Kellerman.
Our story about carbon, biological diversity, and the Amazon was produced by Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman and Bobby Bascom, with help from Marco Lima. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Eileen Belinsky, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Jessica Elise Smith, Ike Sriskandaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins, Marilyn Gavoni, and Sammy Souza.
Our interns are Quincy Campbell and Nirja Parekh. Thanks today to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Learish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.